When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 106. McMonagle here with you on our 5-hour midnight ride all the way to 5 a.m. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. You can also hit me up on Twitter at @CMACWFN, which some of you have. You know what? Let's do that for a second. As we are coming off the heels of a blowout Mets victory, as they took down the Texas Rangers, the defending World Series champs, as I'm watching Jacob DeGrom. We can talk about him, too. Because I'm flipping through the TV today, and I saw something on SNY that made me chuckle. But we can get to that. Jacob DeGrom, Max Scherzer, asked all these questions about the Mets. But as the Mets offense has awoken, and they have now won 6 in a row, 10 of 12, playing their best baseball of the year, and have thrusted themselves right back into the wild card races. They are now a game out with 4 or 5 teams ahead of them. You can also, like I said, hit me up on Twitter, and a lot of you have, and I don't understand you. I don't understand you. Like, you Met fans, you've lost your minds. I'm sorry. The idea that I was Debbie Downer on this Met game or this Met stuff, all I'm saying is let's continue to say it. But that's not good enough. They are dead.
I'm willing to call it now. This Met team is dead.
There you go. They were dead at the time. Dead asleep. That's what I meant. He cut out the part where I said asleep. Dead asleep. And I've woken up. That's okay. A couple of things. Ready? Here we go. Let's just read a couple of tweets because I want to feel like you guys can tweet me and I'll respond to you. And sometimes I don't get a chance to write stuff. But here we go. Larry. Larry says, you refuse to acknowledge how amazing the Mets are and how they are the hottest team in New York right now. Yankees will have an impossible time retaining their players to King Cohen. Okay, I don't know why the Yankees work into all of this, but sure, they're the hottest team in New York now. They're the hottest team in baseball, I believe. I do not believe there is another 6-game winning streak on the docket. The Minnesota Twins have won 5 in a row. Carlos Correa has gone kind of off here in June. Oakland's lost 9. The Mets have won 6. That is the longest winning streak in all of Major League Baseball. So congratulations, Mets fans. Here's me acknowledging that you are not only the hottest team in New York, you are the hottest team in Major League Baseball. Congrats. But you're right. It's a shame because even though the Yankees have lost 2 in a row, it's really frustrating that they're 24 games over 500. I mean, it could have easily been 26 games over 500. Excuse me. 26 games over. They could have easily been 27 or 28 games over. It's a shame. It really stinks when you're the only 50-win team in all of Major League Baseball, and all we have to look forward to is the Mets just taking over the rest of the league and then, of course, signing away all our good players in the offseason. It's going to be frustrating. M. Waters has a lot to say. Jealous Yankee fanboy hater. Can't wait till we play the Stankies, okay? How about those 9 stolen bases? Yep, the Red Sox stole 9 bases last night. That's true. 2 nights ago, that is true. This is my favorite from Bob. The Yankees have enormous amounts of talent with no heart. They are the consummate. They're the consomme chokers. I think he means consummate, but he said consomme chokers. The Mets have some talent with a lot of heart and grit. The Mets are the easier team to root for. The Mets are the easier team to root for. Okay? Mets are the easier team to root for. Just remember that. The Mets. If I would have asked this question a week ago, you would have laughed in my face. But sure, the Mets are the easier team to root for. You were such a Debbie Downer on the Mets at the start. With your negative vibes and the late night construction, I almost had to drive the car off a bridge. What are you guys talking about? Are you guys, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. I've been extremely positive with the Mets. I'm making fun of myself for calling them dead. All I'm saying is we need to see more. You guys you're that content? That's where the Met fandom is right now. You win 6 games in a row and that's it. You're happy, you're thrilled. The team's great, everything's good. That's all it takes. 9 out of 12 in a 6-game winning streak to put you back to 3 games under 500. And I'm being the Yankee jerk fanboy who is still looking for more. You guys are delusional. I don't know how else to say it. Chris in Farmingdale, what's up, Chris?
Mac, it's you. It was you, wasn't it?
It was me. It's me.
You let the Mets out. What happened.
I let the Mets out. Who let the Mets out?
Woo! See, Mac.
It's me. I did it. I left the gate open. It's my own fault. My wife always tells me, close the gate behind me, and I left it open.
It's amazing. These are the same people that go on Facebook and say, don't be negative. Go root for the Yankees. I can't listen to those people. 1 week and they're all, look, I'm happy. It's
yes,
great.
You should be
but
happy.
I'm not falling for it. You don't ever talk about I don't hate the Yankees. I grew up as a Mets and Yankees fan for some reason because I loved that 90s Yankees team. But and then I switched. Finally, I remember the date, the year, 2006. I'm like, I'm going to stick to the Mets only. And I kind of like withdrew from the Yankees and I don't even care about them anymore. Okay. But to talk about the Yankees and Mets in the sentence, these guys are idiots because when this team goes into another funk, and they will, the team is going, oh, look at the Yankees, always win. Don't ever compare the Yankees to the Mets this season. I mean, the Mets won't get 50 wins until August. I mean, don't say nothing. I mean, just be happy we're on this ride right now, but don't insult the Yankees like this. This is not fair. I mean, I'm enjoying it because I need this right now. If Boston won the championship tonight, I need this right now because I hate Boston, and I can't believe those fans were so – if the Knicks won the championship, this city would be shut down. I don't want to hear about it. So you know what? The heck with them. I'm glad with the Mets what they did, and they got to keep rolling. I expected this offense to be like this all year. I'll give you that.
I agree with you.
And they're finally doing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Matt. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying I agree with you. That what's the positive, Nate, the major positive for me is that you kind of hoped and expected the offense to be the strength of the team and be able to do, you know, not necessarily 14 runs a night, but supposed to be, you know, a decent offensive team, especially with the addition of J.D. Martinez to the middle of the lineup. Hoped Alonso would have a big-time walk year. Lindor would continue to do what he did. Nimmo, and I even expected a bounce-back year from McNeil, as dumb as I was. Like, I thought the offense had a chance to be really good. And the idea they've been this bad and now have finally gotten hot a little bit, it's positive because I do believe in the players individually.
Yeah. Now, when you were talking about the trade deadline.
Look, yeah.
David Stern just needs to do what Leon Rose did with the Knicks. Tweak a little bit. Put some guys in that could complement. And I know Burks and Bogdanovich didn't really do anything in the regular season. Bogdanovich was a little bit better in the postseason, and he came good towards the end. But David Stern needs to do something like that. You don't have to give up your farm to get the eighth. Get somebody like a Fetty, who's having a great year. You know, get some compliment players who can like give you a little boost. You know, and get some like decent relievers who can really hold it in, and or starter the same way. Can start even maybe it's a utility bat that can get you get a clutch hitter to where you don't need to give up your farm. If he doesn't do anything at all, he makes like Billy Epler trades, then you're really the fans are really gonna get on this guy. So you know what, this guy really is a fraud.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly – but, I mean, you're talking about the kind of moves Billy Epler did make. I mean, here's the one thing – like, you talk about it like these guys grow on trees. If the Mets could have better relievers, they'd have them right now. Like, who do you think they're going to go get? And who do you think they go get for nothing? And what prospects are you willing to give up? I we'll see how they play. I think the question is still out there – how the Mets are going to play. Because I just find it hard to believe that this group with Stearns is going to trade away assets to provide anything for this team right now. I'm open to the idea they won't sell. Like, if they get close enough, they won't sell. And I know it's one game out there, a bunch of teams in front of them. Like, I don't know where if this were the trade deadline right now, if this were the trade deadline right now, I still think there's a chance they trade it away. Three game. If they find themselves in the exact same position, say they find themselves 3 games under 500, say they play 500 from this point on, And so does almost every other team, except maybe even some of the teams in front of them play worse. But they find themselves 3 games under .500, a game out of the wild card with, as of right now, they have 5 teams ahead of them. Let's say 4 teams ahead of them. Or 3 teams ahead of them. And they're 3 games under .500. 1 game out. I think there's a very good chance the Mets still sell 1 game out. And that's what another a guy said to me on Twitter as well. He said, talking about being 1 game out and you can't, let me see. Okay. The Mets are 1 game out. 1. The 2023 World Series participants were the 2nd and 3rd wild cards. Yes, that's true. The goal is to be one of the 12 teams in the playoffs. You can't sell off unless they collapse by the deadline. I disagree. I do not think they need to collapse. I think this was the plan the entire season. I think this is what they've thought of this group. They want to improve the entire roster all over. They signed one-year players so that they could move them like this. Why do you got Severino for if the team was great, fine. If the team wasn't, you have a trade piece. The same thing with J.D. Martinez. You can trade J.D. Martinez very easily. Like, that's a lot of the reason they signed one-year players and not Jordan Montgomery or some of the other players to stay on the books, because they had visions of acquiring more assets with some of the play pieces they picked up if they could make it work, and then attacking free agency in this offseason and building anew. That's been the plan in my mind. That has been the plan for the New York Mets. And they are going to have to seriously outplay the plan for it to change. And I don't think 3 games under .500, no matter how close, the owner said as much. The owner literally said in his press conference in London, well, I mean, listen, even if you make the playoffs, but you're 4 games under .500, really, what have you accomplished? He said that himself. Right? They are not in the same position as the Yankees. And I don't mean that by wins or losses or quality team. If the Yankees were 1 game out, they would chase it. They haven't won in a long time. You know, this is the 1 year. They got Juan Soto. Like, they have to make the playoffs. They have to chase a championship. The Mets don't. The Mets have a new GM, a new young manager. They broke it down last year. They've started to rebuild the organization and talk about, you know, firming up the core of the organization, which is the farm system. They were worse than all of Major League Baseball over the last handful of years of seeing prospects actually make it to the major leagues. So, I mean, they're trying to revamp the whole thing. That's why you bring in a Stearns. They're in a completely different situation than the Yankees. The Yankees would be 3 games out and 2 games under .500 and still trade and try to acquire and chase a championship. They are not in the same position. They're not nearly in the same position. I don't think they view themselves in that way. I don't think there's a playoff mandate. I think they want to compete. The owner might tell you he believes they're a playoff team, and the way they're playing over the last 12 games warrants that. They're playing like a playoff team right now. There's no doubt. But they're going to have to win a lot more games to add. I think right now the best you could hope for is not selling and chasing it with this team and not trading away Severino and not trading away J.D. Martinez and giving yourself an absolute chance with the core, with the group you have right now, to chase the playoffs. I do not think he'll add. I think you're going to have to be far better than this. And as much as, you know, the Braves are fading, if you could find yourself, you know, in the wild card, if you're in the wild card, you're a couple games up and comfortably in the wild card, then I could possibly see adding to this team. But even then, it's not going to be major pieces. I don't think they're going to go trade a bunch of prospects for, you know, the closer in Oakland. I don't think they would do that. I don't. I think right now they got to figure out a way to just stay hot and then see where it takes them. Because there is a point where the general manager can't trade away. Like, they'll be close enough or in a play. You can't, even if they're under .500, you can't be in a wild card position. You can't be looking at the playoffs and trade away pieces. I mean, it would be very difficult to sell on this fan base. Very difficult. But that's what he wants to do. I don't have any doubts in my mind. That's what he wants to do. I think he was in the ear of the owner when they broke it down last year, knowing he was coming. And I think right now he wants to break down this organization and make it his. And ultimately, it might be what's in the best interest of the entire organization. He might be right. That might be what's best for them. But They could get into a position where it doesn't make sense to chase. Or they could be in a position where it doesn't make sense to sell. And that's why these weeks are so important. That's why right now, this winning streak is coming at the perfect time. The perfect time. They need the next few weeks to be their best weeks and get right into the middle of this race so that they have a second half of the season. That's what they need. And right now, they're playing like it. I mean, they've absolutely, you know, the last 2 days especially, I mean, you're talking about Dylan Cease and John Gray. I mean, Dylan Cease has great stuff. He's an ace of a staff before coming to San Diego. He's legitimately top pitcher in the National League. And then John Gray, I don't know if I'd put him in that same category necessarily, but solid pitchers, had a very good career, and had a 2.17 ERA in 11 starts heading into this game. So they're hitting good pitching. They're beating quality teams, although Texas is under 500 right now. I would still say as a defending champion in the lineup they have, it's a quality team. They've struggled. The Padres have struggled, but still a quality, talented team. They've done this against two really good teams as of late. They got a great win in London against Philadelphia. They swept the Nationals, who, by the way, have been great since. The Nationals are 8-2 over their last 10 games since getting swept by the Mets. And are tied with San Francisco for the last wild card spot. I mean, the Mets have played well. There's no doubt about it, but it's got to continue. And today isn't a day. You can think whatever you want. Today is not a day to say we're back. Today's the day to make fun of me for calling them dead because they're not dead. That's fine. We can laugh at me. We can laugh at Grimace. That's right. A guy called. Guy came in to my show and called me Grimace to my face. Some things I cannot abide. But today is a day of let's see it continue. 14 runs and 22 hits is fluky, but they've played better overall. The winning needs to continue. And they're going to go and play a Cubs team that now has fallen a game behind them at 34-39 and have not played well and are 3-7 in their last 10. And they can't go into Chicago and lose that series. Get one more in the next two against Texas and then go beat Chicago 2 out of 3 at the bare minimum. And then maybe in a week we'll be having a more concentrated conversation about whether or not the Mets are back. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. We got to get to the Yankees as they prepare for the biggest series of the season. What is there anything you can take away from it if they win or lose this series? Can any major statements be made from this series? Cole will be back to have his first start of the year on Wednesday. Rizzo is no longer here. What do the Yankees do at first base? He's going to miss 2 months with a broken bone in his arm. How do the Yankees handle it? And will Rizzo ever be the starting first baseman for the New York Yankees again? Plus, of course, Boston that continues to win championships, wins another as the Boston Celtics just go through the league. 64-18 over the course of the regular season, 16-3 in the postseason, a dominant force who brought another championship to Boston while we can't get a sniff. We got to figure this out. And our best bet is clearly the hot New York Mets.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung on and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Fan Odyssey app.
All right, 131. McMonagle here with you. 888-808-1019, that's the number to call. We opened it up with the Mets, so I'll still take your Met calls, as they are the hottest team in baseball. 6 in a row, 10 of 12, 1 game out in the wild card. They jumped 2 teams yesterday in the Cubs and the Reds, and they are poised after pounding the Texas Rangers, the defending World Series champs, and pounding John Gray, who's been a good starter in this league and having a good year so far. They are ready and poised to get this offense going and dominate all of baseball. But let's see them do it first. That's all I'm saying. Let's see them do it first. Now, a team here in the city that we have seen win some games here that are 26 games over 500, that have the best record in Major League Baseball and are getting ready to play the most important series of the season thus far. The New York Yankees will head into Baltimore. I'm sorry. The Baltimore Orioles will head in to Yankee Stadium. I'm going to try and go tomorrow if I can figure it out. And have a three-game set against the New York Yankees. And we'll see what comes of it. Obviously, Cole, we're going to get to Cole in a minute, but I want to start with Rizzo. As we found out today, Rizzo has a broken bone in his arm. He's going to miss, I don't know, 4 to 6 weeks. And for me, I think it is a very strong possibility that we have seen the end of Anthony Rizzo as the starting first baseman of the New York Yankees. Now, I don't think they'll cut him. I don't think they'll play games with his injuries. I think when he's healthy, he'll come back. I just think there's a very good chance he becomes a role player and a bench player for this team. Or at the least, at the very best, a platoon player. I think we have seen the last of Anthony Rizzo being the first baseman, and we've figured things around that. I don't think Anthony Rizzo is going to be the first baseman because I think they're going to do things, and I think that his time probably surpasses the trade deadline, and they can't wait around. And I think it opens up a couple of possibilities, this Anthony Rizzo injury. While not, you know, I know a lot of Yankee fans probably think it's a good thing. I don't know if it's a good thing or not. Here's what it does. Heading into the trade deadline with a playing but struggling Anthony Rizzo created a bit of a problem for the New York Yankees because of what he means to the team, his closeness to Aaron Judge. I know we joke about it, their dogs are friends, but ultimately there is something there. He is a veteran leader of this team. You know, Verdugo talked about Judge and Rizzo being in his corner to bring him here. You know, Rizzo is a very important figure. He won a championship with the Cubs. And that championship might even carry more weight than other championships, considering it broke a 100-year stretch of, you know, losing baseball from the Chicago Cubs. But he's won a championship. He's been an all-star in this league. He's important to the team. So heading to a trade deadline, while Anthony Rizzo is still healthy and playing, no matter how poorly, made it more difficult, and I felt less likely to go out and trade for a legitimate replacement. To go out and make a move for a starting first baseman who is going to play most of the time, if not all the time, and supplant Anthony Rizzo as the starting player come game one of a playoff series, for example. I think it's a lot easier to go do that now. With him injured, with him playing the way he was playing before he got injured, now gone for months, under the guise of, hey, you don't know how long it's going to take for him to come back. We need the wins when we need them. We need a legitimate player there. There's still the element of LeMahieu at first, Cabrera at third, and Cabrera was so important to the good start at the beginning of the season that you could sell that for a time. They built up, you know, certainly a cushion in the wild card standings, at least, if not the division, because the Orioles have been so good. But they've won 50 games. There's some breathing room on some level, and they could still go that route. And I think they will for a time. And I'm going to get to that in a second as well. But now I think it opens it up at the trade deadline to literally look at starting first baseman and or starting third baseman to fully take a role on this team. Now, they could do that too, a starting third baseman who then moves LeMahieu over the first for the bulk of it. And I expect him to probably be better than what Rizzo was once he gets going a little bit. But like they could, before it was like a player they could throw into the mix, I envisioned. Maybe they could do something at the trade deadline, get someone who they could throw into the mix. If he gets hot, sure, he plays most of the time, we'll play the hot hand, that kind of thing, as opposed to literally going out and getting the New York Yankees second half starting third baseman. The New York Yankees second half starting first baseman. I always viewed that as tricky. I think the injury opens that up to being more likely. So that's the first thing. Come the trade deadline, I think it broadens their horizons and it opens them up to more possibilities for the corner infielder slot as opposed to a minor upgrade. Could they go out and get a legitimate player to be the next starting first baseman of the team and relegate Rizzo to a bench role? That's number one. Now, the question is, what do they do today? What will they do in the short term before you get to the trade deadline? And for me, I think it's a pretty clear thing on what they should do, and I think it's not what they're going to do. But what I would do, and I mean, if you haven't seen on Twitter, on Instagram, Peraza, Oswaldo Peraza, has been seen or put up a photograph with him and his girlfriend, or him and his, you know, him and his significant other or whatever, him and his girl, him and his date, whatever. I don't know if it's his wife or his girlfriend or whatever, but there are pictures of them at the Empire State Building. And so the thought is he's in New York. Why would he be in New York? It's going to be Peraza. Peraza then fills in to play third base, second base. You can move LeMahieu over to first base pretty consistently while Rizzo's down. And that's going to be the roster move. Peraza comes up. Peraza takes over on the left side of the infield with Cabrera. That kind of becomes a platoon maybe, especially since Cabrera has been so bad right-handed. You could see that. That's probably what they're going to do. Although Peraza's been terrible in AAA this year. He's hitting under 200. He's still one of their valued prospects. A guy who last year was right there with Volpe to start the season, was open to him winning the competition in spring training. That's how much they think of him. So I think that's what they'll probably do in the short term. It's not what they should do. What the New York Yankees should absolutely do is bring up Ben Rice. That's exactly what the New York Yankees should do for a couple of reasons. For me, namely, I want a chance to see if I can avoid that situation of trading for a veteran player that I don't know if I believe in, and giving this kid a chance to prove something heading into the trade deadline, so then I can go back to just possibly maybe adding a minor thing where I've got a good feel for a Ben Rice. I want to see him. I want to see if they have internal answers. And I know they don't want to do it because of his limited time in AAA. But right now, over the course of the year in minor league baseball between AA and AAA, Ben Rice is hitting 275. He's got 15 home runs and 36 RBIs. He's got a 532 slugging, a 393 on base for a total of 925 OPS. And just in his 11 games and 50 plate appearances in AAA Scranton-Wilkes-Barre, he's even doing better than that, where he's hitting 333. He's got three home runs already, and his OPS is 1.059. Now, but Chris, that's such a limited number of at-bats in AAA. Plus, he's not on the 40-man. There's going to have to be a corresponding roster move if you want to bring him to the team. And I will tell you that the last couple of times the Yankees have done this with limited at-bats in AAA, sure, Volpe struggled for times last year, but they made a decision on Anthony Volpe to start the year as the New York Yankees shortstop. They put out a competition. He won it. He deserved it. And they gave him the role the entire season, despite his struggles. And then last year, Jason Dominguez hardly played in AAA. They called him up, and he was a sensation. And he's gone back down to the minor leagues and absolutely killed it. And the benefit of a Rice, as opposed to giving Volpe the starting shortstop role, is you are not giving him the first baseman role. You are not saying, come up here, be our first baseman. And better than that, you are not saying, be our savior. There is no pressure on him. They have Juan Soto. The team has 50 wins. They're in first place. Sure, at the end of the series, could they be out of first place? I suppose. But they're still a winning team. They're still in the playoffs. They're still having a damn good year. They are not asking him to be the savior. The pressure at the start of the year last year for Anthony Volpe, and then when Judge went down, was enormous. There's not going to be a lot of pressure, nor was there pressure on Jason Dominguez at the end of last year. This is much more of a Jason Dominguez type. Bring him up, even with his limited experience. Find a way to put him on the 40-man roster. I understand you're going to have to lose someone, fine. But bring in someone so I don't have to trade prospects for a first baseman that ultimately, I don't know how many really good ones are out there with Josh Bell, right? That's what you're talking about getting. I mean, and he's got some pop. He had a big home run against the Mets this year. He's got some pop. He's been a first baseman in this league. I mean, he's not a terrible player, and he would help this Yankee team, left-handed hitter, power hitter in Yankee Stadium. But ultimately, I'd rather just take a chance to see if I can find out anything about him. And if he stinks, if he struggles at the major league level, I've got a month to make that decision heading into the trade deadline. Give him a month. Play him now. Play him now. I like Oswaldo Cabrera. I do, and he played an important role for them at the beginning of this year. I don't like him enough where I want to see him play every day at third base. I really don't. I really don't. And plus, I don't trust LeMahieu right now either. I could see them platooning, and I'm kind of okay with that on some level. Maybe not a strict platoon, but, you know, he gets more days than the average every week and a half a game for Cabrera at third base. I'd rather do that. I'd rather bring up the young kid with promise. I've already seen answers throughout this organization. Let's be honest. As much as we complain that they don't develop anybody and it's nobody since Judge and Cano, and that's all true, since they changed their hitting philosophies in 2019, they have developed good players in the minor league system. Think about the guys who've come up. Right now, it's Volpe and Dominguez. Let's see what this kid has. And then play him for a month, and if he's not up to snuff, if he's not ready for it, it's cost you a 40-man roster spot. Fine. I grant that's not valueless. It's cost you a 40-man roster spot. You've had to cut somebody off the roster, but you send him back down, and then you attack the trade deadline the same way. I don't think it kills him. He came up. He had a 25-whatever game audition. It didn't go great. He goes back to AAA, and he's arguably part of the future for next year is the starting first baseman, and he's got a taste at the major league level. I think that's what the Yankees should do. I'd much rather see that than go right into a DJ LeMahieu and Oswaldo Cabrera situation. Bring up the kid. They've answered the call on most of the times here. And I know Peraza's bringing up the kid too, and I like Peraza, and he didn't really get a fair shake, and I'd like to see more of him. But I don't think LeMahieu's going to play that position. Like, you're not going to see a lot of Peraza. For me, how much worse could Ben Rice be than Rizzo was anyway? I know defensively he's pretty much splitting his time between catcher and first base. I don't know how good defensively he is at first base, and that might be part of the reason why I don't think they do it. I'm not down there. I don't know how well he's played defensively, but again, it's first base. He's been doing it for a couple of years now. It's not like he's far into the position. He's been splitting his time between catcher and first base for a couple of years. I'd rather see that in the short term. So the Rizzo situation for me opens up possibilities at the trade deadline to acquire a legitimate starting first baseman and or third baseman. And it also provides an opportunity in that time frame before they have to make a decision to see what Ben Rice has. And maybe you don't have to go make that trade. Maybe you've got a player here who's shown you something and comes in and gives you enough pop and it ignites this team and helps this team, and gives them something at first base they haven't had all year, and then you don't have to go out and trade assets to get in a mediocre first baseman. That's what I would do. What the Yankees are going to do, they're going to bring up Peraza and play LeMahieu at first base. So we see it differently. And then, of course, we get Gerrit Cole, who's coming back for Wednesday, and the first thing I'll say is I'm surprised by it. I honestly was. I was surprised by it. He threw about 70 pitches in his last, minor league rehab start. I thought they'd want to see him get up to 90 before they brought him to the major leagues. And I understand this is an important series. I do. And I understand Cole is brilliant at understanding pitching and understanding his body and understanding what it is. But I got to be honest. I think this series against Baltimore is important. It's not nearly as important as making sure Gerrit Cole is right. They have the best record in baseball. They've won 50 games without him. It's been miraculous how well they've played without him. When I got told up and down that the Yankees are a 500 team without him. They've been great. The last thing I thought the Yankees would do is to thrust him right into the most important series of the year. Like, I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. I know Cole won't be stupid about it, but if they lose on Tuesday night, if they lose tonight, right, say Nestor Cortes gets pounded by the Orioles, and they lose tonight, the pressure on that game on Wednesday to make sure they don't lose that series is going to be significant. Not immense, because, like I said, they have 50 wins. But there's going to be pressure, and the narrative of they don't beat good teams, which completely is nonsense and subjective to what people think, because if they pounded the Red Sox, nobody would say, oh, look, hey, to be fair, you beat the Red Sox, which is a good team. No, but they lost to the Red Sox, so it furthers the narrative that they can't beat good teams. The Red Sox are good when they beat the Yankees, bad when they lose. That's how it works. But to thrust him right into a situation where he hasn't been built up to 100 just yet, although I'm sure he can probably go somewhere around 90. But to have him come in what could be already, whether whoever was pitching, the most important game of the season against a divisional rival right now that is a game out. That is a game and a half, I want to make sure. A game and a half out heading into this series. Who've already taken 3 of 4. Who are looking to solidify themselves as last year's division champion. And a team that is better, younger, and faster than the New York Yankees. And to thrust Cole right into that. Ask him to win a game that's the most important of the year. Ask him to worry about holding on base runners after what happened the other night. Like, I'm surprised they did it. I don't think it's too much for Cole. I don't think he'll put the level of importance on it necessarily that I'm talking about. But on some level, there's human nature. And to thrust him right in, right out of the gate, into the most important game of the year, surprises me that the Yankees did it. But you know what it does show? You know what it does prove to me? Another element of it? The urgency this team has shown. Because in my opinion, this is not something they would have done years prior. Now, we've never had the example. Cole's never been hurt with the New York Yankees. But I just find it hard to believe in previous years where they had all these off days and they treated the regular season with such disdain and didn't care about every single game. The idea that they're going to rush Cole back when most people felt like he was going to get one more start in the minor leagues. I understand he struck out 10 guys in 4 innings and looked good and the fastball's there and he feels great. I get it. And I'm not saying they're doing anything dangerous necessarily or being foolish or stupid or careless or cavalier. But to thrust him right into this, I feel like last year and other versions of this Aaron Boone-led team and this Brian Cashman-led team would have said, why push it here? Why push it here? It's just a series. In June, it's not that big a deal. Let's make sure he's, fully up to snuff. We've been winning anyway. And the last thing I want to do is have him come in his first start and feel like, geez, I better get out Baltimore. Or they could be in the division lead if I lose this game. So I'm surprised the Yankees are doing it. I'm somewhat pleasantly surprised, although I do have some concerns about it. I'm looking forward to it. And I don't know what to expect from him. And that's the other thing. I think he's bought enough goodwill with the way he's pitched the last handful of years and certainly winning the wild card, winning the Cy Young last year, the way he pitched in the playoffs the year before. I don't think anyone would get too crazy, but to get thrusted right into a game that could literally put them in second place for the first time in however many, a month, if he goes out and gets pounded by the Orioles in his first start back, and now the Yankees are in a position to be swept with Luis Gil on the mound the next day, and falling into second place, it's a lot of pressure to put on the first start back off his first real injury as a New York Yankee. But this Yankee team means business. And I think they are taking this series very seriously, and that's what it shows me, which is what I like the most about it. What I like the most about Gerrit Cole getting this start is it shows us that the New York Yankees are taking this freaking series seriously. They got beat 2 out of 3 against Boston. They had 2 of their worst games. They got embarrassed Sunday night in front of the whole country on Sunday Night Baseball with 9 stolen bases. You all know it. And they came back from that game and said, you know what? I'm not messing around. We're putting Gerrit Cole right into this freaking thing. I'm not going to let Cody Petit, who's already had 2 good starts, eventually come back down to earth against a very good Baltimore team. Let's throw Gerrit Cole out there and let's say, you know what? This is our best. Here we go. Now, it's not something they can't recover from if they lose or anything, but it shows me that the New York Yankees are taking a series in June with the already having the best record in the American League, are taking a series in June dead freaking serious. And that is different. They might not have fired Brian Cashman or Aaron Boone. They might not have fired Fishman or the entire analytic team. Having an analytic firm come in and look at their organization or whatever it was called is a bunch of nonsense. It never happened. A lot of things that we thought would change didn't. But there is no doubt there has been a major fundamental difference and change about how they are treating the regular season. And Gerrit Cole pitching in this middle game of this series proves it. Because they could have easily given him another minor league start, and nobody would have batted an eye. Nobody would have said, oof, really? Going to skip this Baltimore start? I don't know. He's kind of ready. Nobody would have said it. Everybody would have been on board. They've won 50 games without him, and yet they still said, you know what? This is a big series. We're only a game and a half up. We just got embarrassed on national television by the Boston Red Sox. We're putting our best foot forward because we want to win this freaking series. And I love it. Andy in Lodi. What's up, Andy?
Hey, Big Mac. How are you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. Thanks. I know you're talking all about the current Yankees and the trade deadline coming up. I just had this question kind of pop into my head the last few nights about the offseason. Do you mind if I ask it?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
So, Juan Soto, I guess most people or all people believe he's going to get, you know, paid more than what Aaron Judge and, you know, Gerrit Cole are currently making.
Sure.
Do you think Aaron Judge cares about that? I'm just kind of thinking about DeGrom during, you don't think he does?
Absolutely not. What about Jacob DeGrom? Oh, not
just thinking about
Scherzer?
Jacob DeGrom, with 2022, he had the opt out, and a lot of it was probably because he wanted to renegotiate the deal. And,
well, of course, he wanted more money. But they don't, he had an opt out clause. I don't think Judge has one, and Judge wants to win. I don't. The new guys coming up, and plus Max Scherzer was also a superstar, no doubt, but an aging superstar, and it was just a different situation, I think, on some level. Plus, he never played here. Juan Soto's going to have a year as a teammate with Aaron Judge. I don't think Aaron Judge is going to mind if a 26-year-old Hall of Fame caliber player who just transformed his team from an 82-win team to a possibly 100-win team, I don't think he's going to mind if he makes a dollar more, knowing that that's how free agency works and the guy's hitting free agency 4 years earlier than Judge's. Now, I don't know how much more money he's going to make annually. How much more. He might make some more. I don't think it's going to be much more. The overall number is going to be much bigger because he's going to get another 3 or 4 years than Judge got. He's going to get 12 years. So the overall number will be much bigger. But I don't know if the annual number will be crazy bigger. It might be, you know, $42 million a year, $43 million a year. I mean, but ultimately, I don't think it's that big a deal. I don't think Judge cares about that whatsoever.
Okay. Yeah, I guess my question was just thinking that he was going to get paid a boatload more than Judge.
He's going to make $100-something million more. There's no doubt. It's going to be around 500 at the very minimum, and Judge made, what, 360? So, I mean, he's going to get paid $150 million more easy. But it's going to be over the course of 3 or 4 years. Because he's 26 years old, Judge hit free agency at 30. It's just the kid's been in the major league since 19. It's just the nature of the beast. It's how free agency works. Judge wants to win. Because you know what? Judge just got paid. Judge can't renegotiate his contract. Judge got what he wanted. He wants to win now. Because he could be the Yankee captain all he wants. And I can tell you, you know, guys like me can get on the radio and say he's the best hitter since Barry Bonds. And he can live a great life, but he will never be a beloved Yankee. He will never be revered the way the other great Yankees are revered by the fan base without a championship. Not in today's day and age. The Don Mattinglys can't exist anymore. Judge will never be beloved. We'll look back at him and go, oh, he was great. He was one of the great hitters ever. But we won't hold him in such esteem unless he wins a championship. And he needs to win, and he knows that. And I don't think money would, you know, the paying the other great players on my team are going to bother me. Not at all. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. All right, so I opened it up to Cole. Are you surprised that the Yankees rushed him? And I will say rushed. I mean, it's not egregious. It's not dangerous. But it is a bit of a rush. I wasn't expecting it. How do you feel about him starting in this series against the Orioles? How do you view this series all overall? We'll get into some of the different aspects of it. We'll go over the pitching matchups, as this is the biggest series of the season for the Yankees. And then what would you do at first base with Rizzo? How do you replace him? What do you do at the deadline? And do you think the Yankees will do anything? And will he be back as the first baseman at some point this year?